others.
And good day to you today, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio Program. It's a ministry brought to you by the saints at Merit Assembly of God on Merit Island, Florida, 165 North Grove Street, just a couple of blocks north of 520 and a couple of blocks west of Courtney Parkway. And for almost 7 years now, we have been bringing the Word of God to you Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening, right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And 10:30 of a morning, it also broadcasts on WWBC 1510 AM. Now, they've got some FM frequencies also that reach throughout the southern part of the county, the center, and the northern parts of the county. So, you know, if you scan your dial, you may find a stronger signal there than what you might tuning in to 1510 AM. So, you know, I had a vehicle here not too long ago, and it only got FM. And so every once in a while, I would be scanning through the dial, and I could find the WWBC broadcast on the FM dial because of the other frequencies. I think it's like 100.7 or 100.9 is for the central part of the county here. Could be wrong on that. I've been wrong before. But if you are listening to the program and it's being a blessing to you, could we encourage you to maybe help spread the word a little bit and invite some of your friends to listen? I talked to a advertising consultant that used to have a business right next door to the church. This is when I first came there 27 years ago, 27 and a half years ago. And I talked to her and said, you know, what is your recommendation for the church? And she said, Pastor, as a person who works in advertising, the thing that I can tell you is that the only thing that we have ever found that works for a church is word of mouth. Well, this is not necessarily a church, although this is the only church some people get is listening to the radio program here. But word of mouth is going to be very, very effective. And so if you think that the good news is better than the news, then I encourage you to let people know about the radio program, and we will continue to try and edify the saints, refresh the saints, and build one another up in our most holy faith. So I want to take you back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 today. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I'm just going to read, from verses 14 through 20, or verses 13 through 20. And it says this, "When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to prayer made in this place, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among the nations." We're going through the Lord's Prayer, and the last portion of the Lord's Prayer, after it talks about delivering us from evil or delivering us from the evil one, it says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." God's is the kingdom, His is the power, and His is the glory forever. So we're right now focusing on some of those things that belong to God. You know, if you reappropriate something that belongs to someone else, that is stealing. And we don't want to do that, especially when it comes to things that belong to God. Tommy Barnett said years ago, he said in all of his ministry, he has successfully avoided the three G's, the gold, the glory, and the girls. He doesn't want any hint of reappropriating the things that belong to God. And so we're looking right now at what does God say belongs to Him. If I dispense something that doesn't belong to me, then that's not right. If something belongs to someone else and I try and steal it from them, that's not right. We need to recognize God's claim to these areas that He mentions. And we're going through several of them here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We have talked about that it's God's house, that you are His temple. And so I pastor Merit Assembly of God. It's the church that I pastor, but the church is really God's church. It's His bride. And so I want to make the most out of that opportunity, but it really isn't mine. You know, some people say, well, you get everything that you want. Well, I said, you know, my response to that is, then I really do a lousy job at it, because I don't get everything that I want. I could point to you some things through the years that are there. I didn't want those things. Somebody else wanted those things. But I can tell you that when you recognize that it's God's house, if you will do the most to make that a holy thing, there's going to be blessings for being a faithful steward. You know, those talents that you read about in the parables in the New Testament, those were the master's talents entrusted to his servants who stewarded that capital and utilized the master's principles while he was attending to other things. They put his principles to use and they returned to him a great investment. And he said to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of my rest. So I want to be one of those faithful stewards of the things that God has entrusted. We've also talked about that we're his people. We're his people. And so that's where we've been. Now we are going to talk about his name. The first thing that I want to tell you about the name of God is it is how he wants the people of God to be known. Not just that they were Israel, the descendants of Israel, which was Jacob's name that was given to him to replace the name Jacob. Israel means prince of God. Jacob meant slanderer, deceiver. He is basically a con artist, up until a supernatural encounter that he had with God who transformed him. So God just doesn't want us known by, well, we're of this tribe or that tribe. He doesn't want me to be known as just a person of the Assemblies of God or a radio preacher. We need to be known by the name of God. We need to be recognized as being his people, and we call on his name. My people who are called by my name. I don't ever want to be ashamed of the name of the Lord Jesus. Before my wife and I got married, and we were, I mean, I was poor. If you think that we've never gone through financial challenges, you don't know my history. I was working full time as a youth pastor and was making I was bringing home $86 a week, and that was during the height of the economic boom back in the 80s. I mean, I wasn't making any money. And my wife and I, we would go on a date, and we'd go to, on this particular night, we went to a Wendy's restaurant, and it was kind of a busy time. There was a homeless guy that was there, and we started talking to him, and said, "I tell you what, you come with us and we will buy you a meal." I used to do that. We had a church that was on a main thoroughfare there, and we had people that visited pretty frequently who liked their alcohol more than they liked having a place to sleep. And so they would come by and visit us for food. And so I remember taking one guy over and buying him a hot dog and fries, and I've never seen a human being eat so fast in all of my life. I'm surprised that he didn't stick the wrapper of the hot dog down his throat and suck all of the juices off of it. I mean, he ate before I could even swallow my first bite. It was just unbelievable. So this night we went to Wendy's, and we're talking to this guy and said, "Come on, we'll buy you a meal." Now Cindy and I would divide a meal between us. So this is now a stretch for us financially, as well as, being a blessing to somebody else. And so we're taking this time while we're waiting in line, and we start talking to him about Jesus. And he said, "Wait a minute, you're not one of those Jesus freaks, are you?" And I said, "Well, yes, I am." And first of all, he wasn't very bright, because he hadn't ordered his food yet. It hadn't been paid for yet. And he just started tearing into us because of our relationship with Jesus. And you know what? That he started calling us a Jesus freak and all of that sort of stuff. And I'd never heard that term. And but yeah, that's who we are. We are called by his name. I believe that Christians need to be recognized by the world that we represent, not the politically correct version of Jesus that is assumed in the national scene of definitions, but instead that we line up with the biblical Jesus, the God of holiness and the God of compassion, the God of truth. And that we recognize that Jesus died so because he doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to salvation, all to come to repentance. And so we need to represent him, not just be labeled by him. Okay? And because of that name, we have the privilege of calling on the name of the Lord. We get to pray, "If my people which are called by my name." So we get to have communication with God because we are in covenant relationship with him. The Christians in Antioch, in the book of Acts, when they were ministering there, after the day of Pentecost, they just didn't go around and say, "You know what, we don't want to be known as Jews anymore. We're going to be known as Christians." That's not the way it happened at all. What happened was the believers on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and their lives changed dramatically. And the kingdom of God started growing dramatically. And pretty soon they were reaching not just Jews and Samaritans, they were reaching people who were Gentiles by background. And those people said, "You know what? We recognize your behavior as being like Christ." The word Christian means little Christ, little anointed ones. And I wonder if our lifestyle really reminds others of what Jesus is like. I remember one time that just kind of being thumped right in the face because I had asked someone, you know, if they thought of me as being much like Jesus, and their response was very humbling for me. And it was like, wow. And I just don't dismiss things like that. I take them and assess and see, you know, if there's any credibility. You know, I've been called anything from the best pastor to the worst pastor. I've been, you name it. And I've experienced the full spectrum of people's expectations, their compliments, and their critiques. Had people who said, we don't like what you preach. And other people said, I love what you preach. Some people say, man, I can't stand your voice, literally. And other people say, you know, we appreciate the tone in which you bring the word of God. We need to represent Jesus well. We're called by his name. So if you look over in verse number 15, you'll see, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. Now, I want you to understand that the house of God is not just the church building. It is not just a denomination or a fellowship of believers or even an association of churches. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You and I together. And God resides there, resides within us by choice. He says, I have chosen this place. He tells Solomon, this temple that you have built, I reside here not because you built it, because I made the choice to be here. And he said, because now I have chosen this, I have also sanctified it. If you and I are going to represent Jesus well, then we have got to allow God to sanctify us. That's a very pious sounding word. It means this: set apart for holy purposes. Set apart for holy purposes. The more revelation we have of the holiness of God, the more we are going to want to be like him. Okay? The Bible makes an interesting statement, and I think it's very interesting for America in this modern time. God says, you thought that I was altogether like you. You thought I was altogether like you. There's another place that he writes to his people and he says, what right do you have to claim my promises? In other words, God was pointing out the disconnect between what his expectation was of the houses of God, the temples of the Holy Spirit that he had chosen and wanted to set apart for holy purposes, and how people were abusing that concept. If you are still dealing with the same garbage, the same sin that you dealt with before you asked Jesus to come into your life, I need to bring some revelation to you. God expects to empower you so that you can be victorious over those things, not so that you will fall prey to it over and over and over and over again. Listen, you could be a failure to sin without Christ. Jesus wants to make you more than an overcomer. So don't buy the lie that says, well, I'm just never going to get victory over this. Yes, you can. Okay? Jesus, now I'll address this concept too. Many people think that holiness is just an option on God's buffet bar that you can take or leave. You know, I've gone to some buffets and it's like, I don't like that. I don't like this. I love this. This over here is really good. And you avoid the things that you don't like. And you, you know, get big old heaping servings of things that you do like. Well, holiness is not optional. The scripture says, be holy even as I am holy, says the Lord. Okay? Now, it just doesn't say be holy. It says be holy even as I am holy. It's a simile. Just the same, to the same degree that I am holy, be holy. And you say, well, I can't measure up to that. Well, allow God to decree that into your life and on your behalf and begin to manifest that so that you are set apart for holy purposes. There are some things that I have in my life that they have a special spot. It is a spot that is carved out. They fit that spot. There are other things that what I'm thinking about primarily right now are tools that I have. There are other tools that I have, and they are grouped together with other tools. And whenever I need that specific tool, I've got to go weeding through a whole bunch of other tools just to be able to find that particular tool. You are set apart. You are a special possession to God. Not only are you His child, not only are we His people, but He has given to us His name. Names in the Bible not only reveal a person's, you know, recognition label. Oh, that's Bob over there. It wasn't just an honor to a parent or a grandparent. It wasn't just a name that sounded good. Names, biblical names, had meaning. And so names reveal the character of God. We went through some of that when we were doing Hallowed Be Thy Name. Here it says that we have been chosen, that He has sanctified this house, that His name may be there forever. Jesus will never leave you and will never forsake you. We need to have that same commitment level. One more verse about the name. We're going to talk about some other aspects of the name here on tomorrow's broadcast. But it says in verse number 19, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight. So the sanctification is not just optional. It is mandatory. And if we will allow God to cleanse us, to consecrate us, to sanctify us, then going back up to verse number 16, His name will dwell there forever. His name will dwell there forever. One time we had a small house over where my daughters went to, near where my daughters went to school, and we were looking at ways to save money while they went to college. And so we bought this house and we fixed it up, and we were either going to sell it or we were going to let them live in it. It wasn't a great time to sell a house. And then we discovered that they couldn't live in that house at that point in time because of school policy. And so we ended up renting the house. And our first tenant, he was a pastor from in this area that was living over in that area. And he rented the house, lost his job, and ended up moving back to Brevard County. The second tenant came in and they said, oh, this house is great. This house is just what we've been looking for. This house is fantastic. We want to rent this house, But in actuality, we're going to want to buy this house from you. And so they signed the lease, and everything was fine. And 30 days later, actually it wasn't even 30 days later, they contacted us and said, yeah, we're moving. And I said, well, wait a minute, you got a lease? They said, well, we're not staying. And I said, well, what's the problem? I mean, the house had been completely and totally renovated. And they said, the house is too small. House is too small. And I said, you know, amazingly enough, it's exactly the same size that it was when you came and looked at it and the day that you moved in. You know, I will tell you that that was my initial response. After they moved and I saw how much damage they had done to the house in 30 days, I was so thankful that they were gone. You know, let me just tell you this. When God puts his name in your heart and on your life, I can tell you he's not going to change his mind and say, you know what, I just don't think I'm going to be able to do anything with them. I think they're too ineffective. That's not the way God looks at you with eyes filled with the potential. You were created by him on purpose for his purpose, and he has got the ability to bring those purposes to pass. God knows everything there is to know about you, everything there is to know about me, and he loves us anyway. And he says, I want everybody to know this is my child. This is my child. I want to encourage all of us today to recognize what a privilege it is to be called by the name Christian, the name of Jesus. Say, I'm God's child. What a privilege. Let's allow God to have his perfect work in us so that we represent him well by our life, as well as by our words. I believe it was St. Francis of Assisi that said, preach Jesus always. Use words when necessary. God bless you. I want to declare the name of Jesus the authority over your life. We'll see you tomorrow right
here
on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
You are not a God.